Welcome to the October 29th Walk Tall, Leaning Office Like a Queen, Session 5. This is our final in the series of 5, and we're going to be talking about email and putting it all together in an overview. I know email is the one that everybody likes to start out with, but you're going to find that all of the work that we have done up until now makes session.
You are now muted.
It makes it really easy. That's what it does. It makes it really easy. So all of the things that we've already talked about are going to come into play here. So it's a fascinating overview in itself. Okay, so just like before, and please be comfortable without falling asleep. I know that it's easy to wander off while listening to these. Try to stay with. This is our last one, and mindfulness and being present is a great practice for kind of soothing the nervous system and just being calm. So give yourself the gift of calm and peace. Reminder that if you would like to ask questions, it'd be great if you could do so in the Q&A box. So I have one last thing to look at, although I may notice the chat. But if you have a question, please put it up in the Q&A. And if you want to chat with the other participants, that is what the chat is for. Our final open office assisted implementation is on Friday, and this is the open subject, whether you have help, want help, have questions, or just want to start working through somewhere and just see if there's anything that isn't completely clear. It's a great time to do it. We've been covering, you never know what's going to come up. So it's been fun to just see what comes up. You just never know. So it's a great to have you part of that conversation if you can make it. Notes from last week. A reminder, just for kind of keeping some sanity, did you go through and highlight what you would like to implement? And then pick the top 3 of those. And then focus on the top 1. Overwhelm is easy to come by, and I know I've been giving you a lot of information. So narrowing it down based on your needs and interests is key. And then the highlights, the super, super, super importantes. 2 of them, the wrap session and the daily preview. I have uploaded 2 audio files. They're available on the resources page. One is a guided walkthrough of the wrap session. One is a guided, the other is the guided walkthrough of the daily preview. Let me take a sip of water here. I recommend doing the wrap session on Sunday evening or Monday morning as you're getting the hang of it whenever you have a little bit more time, so maybe Sunday evening. And then the daily preview is in the day before the next work day, basically. And you would do that. It kind of gets folded into the wrap session, so basically doing it Monday through Thursday for the following day. And the guided audio walks you through all the prompts, and then there's a play. Then after each prompt, it says pause if needed. And so you want to listen to it in some kind of audio player where it's really easy for you to hit pause and play, pause and play, pause and play, because you're going to be doing that a lot. And then after you've done it a few times, especially the daily preview, once you've done it a few times as a walkthrough, you'll get a hang for what you want to be watching for, and then you'll just be doing it on your own. Then you probably won't need the daily preview guided version. The wrap session, however, is really helpful to continue having the guided one. None of you were a part of the wrap session last year, but all of 2012, I offered a wrap session service where people called in. Happily, they were all in Pacific time zone. They all called in at 9 a.m. on Monday morning, and I walked them through the wrap session. And they called in all year long because they found that if they didn't have a time and that accountability to be somewhere
on Monday morning to do the wrap session, they weren't doing it.
So while it is entirely possible and probable, and if you're a real go-getter, then you will do it. And once you start seeing the value of it, you won't want to miss it. And even then, sometimes it's easier to have a little bit more support. So that's why the guided audio is there. And then I didn't talk about this last time. I strongly recommend getting on the phone. So I'm going to ask you guys, whoever is interested in doing this, and I'll include this in the follow-up email as well, if you are interested in teaming up with another Walk Tall participant for even, say, 3 weeks to set a designated time where you would both do your wrap session, and you just get on the phone with each other and you just do it. And maybe you're both listening to your own audio version and, you know, you're not even really communicating with each other. Make the date with each other just so that you do it. So if that is something, if you would like to pair up with somebody to do that, then please email me and I will hook you up. Okay, our playing field today, like I said, email and overview. And when I say email, I'm talking about the ongoing system for maintaining sanity with your email. This is not the system for catching up and clearing out your email inbox that has 3,000 messages in it. The reminder email with the call-in information, and also on the resources page, I put up a link to Charlie Gilkey's email triage, and that also is a guided tour for basically just radically diminishing your inbox count. So it's meant to be done as an emergency measure. So if you've got 500, 3,000, 10,000 emails in your inbox, his walkthrough, and it's like 19 minutes of audio, but it takes you as long as you need, will get that down dramatically and let you know what is in your inbox so that you can have a sense for what needs to be acted on. And now that you have your to-do manager set up, the ones that are left in there, you'll know how to pull into your action system. So if your email inbox count is painful, I highly recommend you do that email triage to get it down to a manageable size. And then what we talk about today is going to be how you keep it low. Okay. And then the whole enchilada, the overview. I'm going to give you an example of how all of the parts play together in manifesting an awesome dream. So the avatar work today, I'm going to mix it up just a little bit, because the avatar that I want to access, that I want to trigger for you today for email, is your CEO avatar. So whereas the natural professional avatar that we've been working with has been more peace, grounded, and confident, kind of steady and solid in herself. The CEO avatar is a little bit more, you know, like I just want to snap my fingers, right? Like think of the CEO, you know, who's just got stuff flying at them all day. They're making quick decisions. They're staying connected to the bigger picture. So call up someone to mind that can just like make those really quick decisions. They don't belabor decisions. They're just like quick and on it, move on to the next thing, quick, on it, assess, go, quick, assess, go, assess, go. And yet they stay with the big picture always in mind. So let's settle and arrive. And I'm going to arrive with you. Being comfortable in your seat, let your chair support you, releasing any tension that isn't needed to sit nice and quietly and calmly. And then take a deep breath, and the deepest breath you've taken all week long. And another deep into the belly, feeling your rib cage expand in all directions. And then exhaling fully, even contracting just a little bit at the end to exhale all the air. And then one more, just like that. Deep inhale, full into the belly. Feeling your rib cage expand in all directions. And exhaling fully, pushing out all the air. Taking a deep conscious breath into your shoulders, releasing any tension that doesn't belong. And a breath dedicated to relaxing your jaw. Breath into your cheekbones. Into your forehead. And into your scalp. Feeling relaxed. And then call up whatever image you had of the CEO on their game, making decisions quickly, rapidly, staying in touch with the big picture. It's a bit of a higher energy. It's real snappy. So almost like you can even just groove a little bit, like a little groove back and forth. Getting a little bit of a pace going. It's almost like this is how I hear it. It's like. Getting a bit of a groove going for making decisions, moving on. Making decisions, moving on. Staying calm, staying clear, making decisions and moving on. Keep that CEO in your mind. Maybe it's like a Donald Trump type or an Oprah Winfrey type, and you just know behind the scenes she's snapping her fingers, yes, this, no, that, yes, this is relevant, that's not, boom, 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 on it. Okay, so that's the energy that I want you to think of for the CEO avatar. Okay. All right. So we're going to go straight into the email, keeping your avatar in mind. We'll be calling on your CEO avatar soon. But first of all, let's talk about the joys of email. All right, let me know if you've heard this one, if it sounds familiar. You have an hour before your next appointment, and you think, hey, I'll clear out some emails. So you go to your inbox, you open up an email, and you respond to it. But it's got some important info in there, and so you leave it in your inbox. You go to the next one. It's a newsletter. You skim it. You see a link to an article that looks really interesting, so you click on it. And you see another site that you've been trying to remember, so you go there and you find that book that you were thinking about. Oh, I wanted to get that book. And so you went over to Amazon to check out the book and thought, oh, I can get free shipping if I get two books. And so you look at the book, so are the other ones down there that say this person also bought. And you scroll those, and you see another one that you had thought of looking at, but you're not sure. And so who wrote that one? And so you go look up the author, and then you're looking through the author thing, and your timer goes off, and it's transition time for your next appointment. So you close the windows, and it brings you back to your email inbox. And while you were there looking at the books, a few more emails came in, and so now you have more emails than when you started an hour ago. Curse email gods while condemning yourself. My email inbox never gets any smaller. I'll never catch up. It seems impossible. And you close it down on a note of frustration filled with a mixed feeling of inadequacy. And you swear to yourself that you'll make a dent after dinner tonight. Okay. So when you think about your email inbox, what do you feel? How do you feel when you think about your email inbox? And you can write it in the chat. Nick, I'm here. Yeah. Overwhelmed. Yeah, not fun. Happy Tuesday. It's not even, it's just a little bit ahead, that's all. Cool. Okay, so just as important. So good to acknowledge that. Now, just as important. How do you want to feel about your email? And take a moment, I mean, if you want to take a moment to think about that, how do you want to feel about your inbox? And you can't say organized, because organized is not a feeling. If you were going to say organized, what does organized feel like? In control, okay, caught up. And I'm going to push again, like try to identify in some kind of feeling, like what does caught up feel like? Empowered. Okay, great. Got it. In control. What does in control feel like? Is there a feeling that can go along with that? Great. Yes. Super. Those are really important, because this is how you communicate with your body, is through feeling. This is how you communicate with your soul, really, with that deeper part of you, is through the medium of your body. So by asking for an experience of confidence, empowerment, and powerfulness, you're sending a really strong message to the bigger powers that be. So I would love for you to write down the feelings that you want to have and put that in a prominent place. And you can even turn it into a positive affirmation. I'm on my way to feeling confident when I deal with email. I'm on my way to feeling happy when dealing with my email. Okay? Calm. Excellent. I'm on my way to feeling calm about my email. Remind yourself, give yourself that trigger, and you can put it on a little note, and you can put it by your computer. That friendly reminder. So where we're headed. So I'd like you to imagine being at peace with your email. You're on the other side. You know what's in it. You know where you stand with it. You know you're caught up. It doesn't interrupt your flow, and it doesn't interrupt what's important when you're working on that. Maybe you're even able to approach it with a sense of curiosity. You know where and how to find what you need, and quickly. You spend minimal time in the inbox. Mostly when you're in your email program, it's for communicating about stuff that's relevant to your current work and interests. Gone are the days of scrolling through looking for stuff, looking at emails for the fifth time. It's in the past. Okay.
That's where we're headed. This is the official Lean Mean Eel email machine system. And this was done in such a way that if you would like to print this out and put it up to remind you, and you could even write on this, I'm on my way to email calmness. You can. It's a holistic system. As I mentioned, it ties together with all of the different parts of everything we've talked about so far in the Walk Tall course. So it includes specific tools, shift in mindset, and scheduling aspects. And for credit and attribution, my, same with my other work, the zapping system is based on, well, it's inspired by David Allen's Getting Things Done methodology. And here's the thing, is it's really not complicated. The toughest part about adopting this system is remembering that you want to stick with it. Your mind is going to say, I don't have time. It'll try to convince you that it's not worth the time. So you're going to need both willpower to choose to stick with it instead of skipping this email just for now, I'll get to it later. And then you're also going to want mindful awareness to let go of the stress around email. Okay, patterns, especially when they're tied to emotion, they run deep. This is why we want a substitute emotion. Stress is a response, so we get to reprogram that. And that just happens through mindful choosing that I'm not going to go down this route again. And I realize that can be a challenge, especially when you're in the middle of a busy day. And know that that is the most powerful time that you can make that decision. That is a pattern disruptor. And pattern disruptors, when it comes to stress, are powerful. It's not one more question as you're going through your day. It's about choosing how you want your day to play out. It's really powerful. So I want you to know that if you have become really accustomed to the feeling of overwhelm around email, that to allow and acknowledge peace may be challenging. And again, this is where the mindfulness comes in. You may actually feel uncomfortable. There may be odd feelings of insecurity. There's nothing in my inbox. Nobody cares about me. You know, I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever. And our emotional body doesn't pay attention to rationalizations like that. The important thing is that you acknowledge. The main Jedi mind tools that we are going to play with, that you're going to keep in mind, and I encourage you to, you know, see how they pop up over the course of the course today, are containers and boundaries. A container, both, we've already talked about these, can be for time, they can be for information, they can be for stuff. They hold something in. They help you tap into your brain power. They keep you from multitasking. They allow you to go deep into your thought process instead of staying shallow. They provide a setting. They provide the space for your avatar to come out and play. And they decrease stress because you know what you should be doing. They give you clarity of purpose in the moment. And the amount of relief that can go with this just cannot be overstated. Boundaries keep something out or someone out.
They stop the dissipation of energy by protecting your containers. By identifying and naming what does not belong, you strengthen the presence of what does belong. And this is so important because acting from a place of strength is rooted in trusting yourself and your system. Distractions come in so many forms, from within and outside. And the best antidote is to know where to place your attention. And this comes back to making those decisions throughout the day. I feel a stress response coming on. Do you shift your attention for a different direction, being a pattern disruptor, or do you let it serve the stress response and watch yourself get more stressed out? So we're going to begin with some definitions. You may know these, and I'm not going to assume anything. Then we'll go over the system overview. We'll go over the parts, and then we're going to do a zapping exercise. A few definitions. Email provider versus an email client. Your email provider is basically the entity that gives you the email address. They handle the routing or the routing to and from that address. They provide you access to an email server to store your saved emails, and this is all back-end coding. So except for when you're setting up your email or when you have issues, you totally forget who your provider is. Okay, so online email providers are Gmail, Yahoo, Hotmail. Now, you know they're the ones because you're using their email address, sean@gmail.com. So what if you have, your own domain name, like the sean@thenationalprofessional.com? Then you are basically your own email provider. Basically, the provider is, who do you call when you have a problem? So in the case of sean@naturalprofessional.com, I'm essentially responsible for figuring out, for managing my mailbox and the various tools. Therefore, I might have a tech person that I delegate to, but ultimately, I'm the one who has to figure that out. I can't go to Gmail and say, I have a problem. So the email client is the program, the interface that you use for receiving and sending emails. So Gmail, Yahoo, and Hotmail are also email clients, right? They gave you the email address, and they give you the interface for sending and receiving emails. You can also have a desktop version of an email client. That would be Outlook or MaxMail app. Webmail is also an email client. For example, SquirrelMail. SquirrelMail doesn't give you the email address. They give you the interface for receiving and delivering the email. Okay? So when we talk about an email, typically when we talk about an email program, we're talking about the email client. So this is in part for your education and in part to know that an email client can handle emails from several different providers. And and the functionality is changing a lot. So like Gmail, you can, even though they are a provider, they also allow you to manage emails from other providers. So in my Gmail account, I can manage my Gmail email address as well as my sean@naturalprofessional.com email address. So it's just good to know that your email provider is not your client, right? You get your email from one place, but you can send and receive from whichever other program you want to. The next distinction is POP versus IMAP, and this is how your email program, your email client, interfaces with the provider, with your email server. POP, I think it actually stands for Post Office Protocol, downloads a copy of the entire email to your inbox. And the most important thing here is that the data only goes in one direction. So even though, I mean, you send an email and it goes through there, but it just pulls the email into your email client. It's better for people who are offline a lot and want the entire email downloaded when you retrieve the email, although IMAP is doing that mostly now. You do have a few more options with Gmail. You can do almost like a mixed POP and IMAP, but Gmail suggests doing IMAP. And so IMAP, and this is how you want to have your email set up, because it's two-way data sync. And what this means is, for nowadays, because we're all using multiple devices, when you set up your email with IMAP, it basically maps your file structure. And so the file structure in one email client is the same as on the server, is the same as on your phone, is the same as on your iPad. So when you make a change on one, it changes it for all of them. So if you don't have that functionality, then that and you use multiple devices, that's definitely an item to put up high up on your to-do list. And filters. For our purposes, they're basically the same thing. The only difference being that Gmail calls them filters, and pretty much every other email client calls them rules. What they are simple coding that automatically direct email to do something. For example, skip your inbox and go straight to your newsletters folder. Okay, and we'll be talking more about those, but I just wanted to introduce the idea of an email rule. Email comes into your program and it skips the inbox and goes somewhere else. That's not the only kind of rule you can use, but that's the one that we're going to talk about. Yep, here we are at our lean email zapping machine. So you've got all of this information flying in at you in a big jumble, and it gets caught here in this big part here over on the side. You got all this stuff coming in, and it's not prioritized, obviously. You have a new client work request coming right after an alert that REI is having their annual gear sale. And then you get some cute puppy pictures from your nephew, Jimmy. And then you get an appointment time change request from your friend. And then that comes right after another newsletter. So your machine does the first pass of prioritizing, does the first pass of separating the wheat from the chaff with the filters and the rules. And that happens here. So you're going to set up your filters and your rules, and it's going to put them into their information parking spots that you're going to set up, so that what you actually have to deal with is greatly decreased. Then with what you do end up having to deal with, you're going to zap. See, this is the zapping station, which is basically you manually routing information to the right place, which is where these go. This goes to your action system. This is an archive. This is pulling it into your reference system. And it very, you know, theoretically ends up as an empty inbox. And I do want to point out that an empty inbox, you know, some people call it inbox zero, is not necessarily your goal, only because who needs that kind of pressure? But if you can see it as a bit of a game in which the inbox zero or something close actually represents that you had a place for all of the information in the email. So it can be kind of a fun way to look at it, like, oh, I knew where to put all the information that came through here, and therefore it's zero. And not like, oh, I still have a couple emails in my inbox, and therefore I'm not complete. You know, it's like, screw that. You're awesome. You're a wonderful person, and just because you have emails in your inbox is no big deal. Whatever. We just don't want to stress you out. Which brings us to mindset shift number one. This is huge, 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 huge. No more, quote, doing email. Why? Because what we call doing is actually three steps. It's one, zapping your email. And zapping your email is about identifying what comes in, assessing it for relevance and priority in your life, and then sorting it accordingly. This is a really critical and important, but small, okay? It's a small part of your workflow. It takes significant mental power, therefore you want to do it as little as possible. Not based on ignoring what's come in, but by minimizing the number of emails that actually need to be zapped. Because the other two steps, when we say we're doing email, what we're actually saying is zapping, managing the work, and doing the work. So zapping your email is that identification, assessment, and sorting, which then allows us to manage the work, which is about being aware of what's on your plate, planning, prioritizing, and putting what you're going to do in the context of time. This is where your to-do manager, and especially organizing your to-dos by mindset, and your wrap session, and your daily preview come into play. When you do the daily preview and the wrap session and you zap your email, all of a sudden, you're no longer in your inbox. It's great. Okay, and then the third part, obviously, is actually doing the work. So whether it's an important focus session or taking care of busy work, projects forward, or performing billable work for clients, keeping up with your interests, or checking to-dos off your list. We've already talked about grouping activities by mindset to maximize your brain's efficiency, conserve energy, and reduce stress from not jumping around. So when you get right down to it, what we call doing email, which is a no-no, no more do email, is actually zapping, managing, and doing. Okay? So I tell you, like I said, getting into how to really function with email, it draws on everything we've already been talking about. The mindset, the containers, the wrap session. Okay. Start with the parts. So what are you going to need to set up in order for your lean, mean email machine to do its dirty work? So remembering that zapping is assessing what something is, what its relevance and priority in your life is, and then deciding what to do with it takes mental brain power, and your brain power is a limited resource. We want to save that for the managing and the doing. Email takes time to manage, and this is the point that most people want to deny. They say, it's not my actual work. But if you think about it, shopping and cooking aren't actually part of eating, yet they're just as important for good nourishment, right? And I'm going to argue that assessing something's importance and priority to your life is your job. It absolutely is your job. And once you embrace managing as inherently part of the job description as CEO of your life, then you can move on to the next question, which is how to manage your email as quickly and effectively as possible. The majority of your incoming email is predictable. Newsletters, updates, account information, social media updates, promotions, and the like. And this is where email rules shine. So remember, email rules are simple instructions that automatically direct email to skip your inbox and go to another folder. You'll use them to reduce the amount of incoming emails that you need to make decisions on, and thereby saving you brain power. Email rules are amazing. Okay. So Kathy mentioned that she took the email course when I ran it in September, and so she had all kinds of emails in her inbox. And then the next time I talked to her, she said I had 6 in my inbox this morning. 6, and that was because of everything that got rooted away from her inbox. Oh, what a great way to start the day, right? Much easier. So I suggest that you cut your teeth and get comfortable with setting up your rules with 2 types of messages, social media and newsletters. The process to set these up is a 2-step one. Number 1, set up the destination folder. In Gmail, it's called a label. This is a parking spot, clearly defined. For example, if you wanted to use these, you could use, well, you can see on the Lean Mean email machine down here in the corner under the circle, SOME, social media, S-O-M-E, social media, NL, newsletters, and local resources. Right now I'm talking about SOME, the social media. So you could set up a folder called Social Media Alerts, or S-O-M-E Alerts, and a second folder for newsletters, or to read. Note where you set up the folder. If you want it to sync across your devices, remember that's what you can do if you're set up via IMAP, then you need to set up this folder on the server. And I have an example. So this is only going to be relevant if you are positive. Okay, so on this one, look at this one. So this is in Mac Mail. So if you use Mac Mail account, see here we have on my Mac. So these folders are set up on my hard drive. Then it says Gmail. These are labels that are in my Gmail account. And then here, Natural Professional. These are the folders that are on my Natural Professional server. So these are the ones that are going to sync across devices. And when you set up a new mailbox, in Mail, for example, you have the option of saying where you want it to live, on your hard drive, on your Mac, or on a server that you already have set up. Okay? So that is what, that's where you would want to put it if you want access to it on all of your devices. So that's step 1, setting up your destination folder. Step 2 is to set up the rule. In Gmail, it's called a filter. These are the simple coded instructions. And I've got, Kathy found some links on how-to videos, how to set up rules in different email clients. And those are YouTube videos. And so you'll be getting the email resources page that has links to those. So you might wonder, how detailed should you get?
For example, should you have one folder for Facebook and one for Twitter and one for LinkedIn? What I want you to remember is that we're organizing based on you, how your brain works, and not the email, right? This isn't about where it's from. It's about how your brain is going to function with it, what activity is triggered, what mindset or time container in which you'd want to know about this information. For example, when you're ready to do social media online, don't you want all of your alerts in one place? So you put them all in the same destination folder. Then if you want, you can sort in that folder by sender, and then it's going to group them by social media source. So you're kind of getting best of both worlds. If you're wondering what's going on this weekend, then maybe you can go to local resources. The local resources is basically like newsletters, but that have to do with your local area. And so again, how would you want that information grouped? Because it could just go in the newsletter. Like, I just have one for newsletters. But Kathy and I were talking, and she set one up for local resources because she wants to know what's going on around town, but there's so much going on around town, it was totally clogging up her inbox. And so she sent them all to a local resources folder. So say on Wednesday or Thursday, and she's wondering what's going on this weekend, she goes to a local resources folder, and ba-boom. Here's everything under the sun that's going on, and it hasn't been cluttering up her inbox in the meantime. When you're ready for browsing and keeping up to date on things that you're interested in, then you would go to your newsletters, right? And so let's take a look at the worksheet, okay? The one that is, so I sent this morning. I'm sorry I didn't send it before. Little worksheet existential crisis this morning, and I realized that we needed to have this. I'm like, they must have this. I'm sending it even though it's the same day. So if you haven't printed this out, just take a look at it, and you can just write on your regular paper and do it later. So I started filling it out as ideas. I'm not saying that you should do all of these, but I wanted to come up with different examples. This first column, type of email, or the sender of the email. For example, Facebook. Something's coming from Facebook. So that's a sender. Newsletters, that's a type of email. Industry update, that's a type of email. Online orders, type of email. Super important and timely, right? This is completely contextual to you, but it's still a type. It's something that you need to deal with. It's important and timely. So then what mindset or time container would you want to access this in? And this is going to help for understanding how many and to what detail of folder you would want it. Facebook, I want that during social media time. Newsletters, I want that during online reading time. Industry updates, also online reading time. Online orders, I want to follow up on those in busy time. Super important and timely stuff. You know, depending on my work, that could be focus time, that could be busy time. So what folder, what is a suggested folder name for this? Social media alerts, either newsletters or to read, industry updates. I would just put it under, we could either call it industry updates or updates, orders and receipts, and then an action folder. We're going to talk more about action items and getting them out of the inbox, but if you need to leave it in your email program, you can still get it out of your inbox by flagging it and putting it in an action folder. Then frequency. So this is coming from, again, kind of from this design perspective. Namely, really, how much time would be ideal, and obviously it's always going to be flexible, but ideally, how much time am I spending on this type of information? So social media, say 30 minutes a day, depending. Maybe my quota is 15 minutes.
Maybe it's an hour if that's a really big part of my marketing plan. Newsletter, you know, 60 minutes a week, maybe, if I'm lucky. Industry update, maybe I need to be really up on top of those, and so that's 10 minutes a day. Online orders, maybe I just want to look through that 10 minutes a week just to make sure that everything has arrived that I was expecting. And then the super important and timely. Maybe that's 60 minutes a day for me, and maybe it's zero. You know, it completely depends on your flow. And then the when and the where. So this is where we start getting contextual, and I want, basically I want you to start thinking about, yeah, how it fits in contextually with the rest of your work. So this is the other reason I wanted to put in a bunch of examples, is there's a lot of different examples here. So Facebook, it can be, and so both of these are relative, right? End of day or after my busy time container. Not during my busy time container, but after. And so that can be like, I finish my busy time and then I tack on another 15 minutes. So then when I'm looking at my day and I'm scheduling, and say I've got from 4 to 5:30 as discretionary time to work, and I know I want to do 30 minutes of Facebook time, I can say, is 1 hour adequate for busy time, because I want 30 minutes for social media, and I have an hour and a half, and then I can negotiate with myself from there. Newsletters, you know, it's more fun to kind of read and browse at a cafe, and really that's the only time I actually do it. So this is why I might want to have my newsletter folder synced to my devices, so I can pull it up on my Nexus, or if you have an iPad, and you can take it to a cafe and do your reading there, and just chunk away a whole bunch of newsletters and then let yourself off the hook for the rest of the week. Industry updates, that might be, again, kind of a contextual. After focus time, I automatically jump into industry updates just to see what's going on, and then I move on to the next thing. Online orders, if I only need to do it once a week, then I'm just going to remind myself that during my Monday busy time slot, I'm going to remember to check online orders. And then the super important and timely, that one's tougher, and is completely, you know, contextual to your situation. Knowing that you have a lot of today type of to-dos means that you want to be scheduling that for yourself. Make time for it. You know it's going to happen. You know it does happen. And if it doesn't, you can duck email instead. But assume that you're going to need time for that. Alrighty. So let's see. That was all. So basically all of those types of emails get pulled out in this filtering process, which greatly reduces the number of emails that actually make it to your zapping station. And then when you're zapping, you're assessing, prioritizing, and then routing to your action system, the recycle bin, or your reference files. I'm going to grab a sip of water here. Zapping makes sure that you see the important stuff and not miss priorities. So it takes energy, and wandering into your inbox when you're tired, low energy, or a little spacey is like inviting the kid named Overwhelm to your birthday party. Like, just don't go there. Zapping is something you rev up for. It's when you step into your CEO avatar, you set your timer, and you go. You don't try to squish it in between other activities. You don't try to multitask, because decision making takes focus. Understand how the brain works, and then you won't fight it. If you aren't focusing, you won't make a decision. If you are focusing, you have a much better chance of making a decision. or you can come definitively to the conclusion that you're not ready to make a decision, which is an acceptable answer. What's not an acceptable answer is to look at it and say, ugh, I don't want to deal with this now, and skip over it. Okay? That's what you're no longer doing. Phew. Okay, so we're going to do a little zapping run through, but first we need to come back to the information parking spot. So hopefully you still have your parking spot handout from session one that has been made, hopefully getting a little bit more context over the last month. And in your inbox, it's going to get a bunch more context, I promise. Because the cluttered inbox isn't filled with emails. It's filled with, I don't know what to do with this, or I'll do it later, and I'll just leave it in the inbox because at least I know where it is. In other words, deferred decisions and deferred actions. So zapping to give you the kick-ass amazing results that you want, the deferring must halt. So if you break it down, what comes in through email for you? Reference material and actionables. First, the reference material. That's what the info parking spots are for. So here are a few questions to help you figure out what the parking spot might be called and where to park it. You get to an email and there's something in it, you're like, I don't want to toss this because this is an important piece of information. So here are some questions. If I were looking for this in a file folder, what name would I think to look under? Two, where do I keep other like info, and is that convenient? Or should it be moved? Would I access this online? If so, that's a vote for a parking spot that is easily connected to online, like Evernote. Four, where would I be when I'd want to access this information? Because if it's not in your office when you would need that info, then you definitely want it to be syncable with your mobile device or wherever it is that you would want that information. And five, is there a program out there, probably free online, that stores this kind of information? And do I have other information like it? Passwords, mileage counts, birthdays. None of those belong in your email inbox. So then the other thing that comes in through email are actionable info. Consistency, consistency, consistency is the key here. So hopefully you've got your to-do manager set up and running now. In most cases, transferring or forwarding your task-oriented emails to your to-do manager is an excellent, suggested, and recommended idea. Because when you go to manage what's on your plate, primarily in your wrap session, you want to look in as few places as possible. So at least three of you are on GQs now. For example, I want to point out a few things. I got an email from Paperback Swap Librarian. And I thought, oh, that's right. I want to find a book for the airplane to go to Thailand. So I didn't forward the whole email. I selected one part of the email, and then I hit forward. And so the only thing that ended up in the body of the email was the part that I had selected. I forwarded it to my account. And please note that I changed the subject line to be my action item, find a phone book for flight to Thailand on Paperbook Swap. Because if I had just hit forward, well, I did hit forward. If I had just left it, it would have said forward, paperback swap, newswire, October 2013. Now is the time. This is the important part. Now is the time to write the subject line, because now is when I had the thought, when I assessed the email, and when I decided what needed to happen. Because if I had just forwarded it without changing the subject line, then maybe it's tonight, maybe it's tomorrow, I'm going to get to my to-do inbox in my task manager, and I'm going to have to reassess what this is and then come up with a name for the task. So I do it right now when I thought about it. Like, I just went through the thought process, therefore I write it down. Okay, this is front loading. This is doing it now, because otherwise I'm going to have to go through the whole thought process again and do it later. Then once you're comfortable and familiar doing that, then you can learn simple tagging from your inbox by putting this tag, because I have a tag in my program for hi. Now, this is automatically going to tag my item hi. So I've just done like a simple pass. And the ones I want to do that for are today's and hi's, right? Because those are the ones that I just want to be prominent straight away. I want that to automatically show up on my to-do list, my today to-do list, without having to do anything else with it. And this is how I do that. Really, really quick. Then, okay, so then what is a little bit tougher is the action system when you're keeping it in your email client. Like, there just aren't that many options, because you can't use tags. Your flagging is limited if you're syncing between devices. Like, there's just more limitations than possibilities. That's why these to-do managers have been created, because the inbox, the email program, is not designed to be a to-do manager, okay? So if you're going to use your email program as a partial to-do manager, I highly recommend only using it for, like, today's and maybe highs, ideally. So just a few reminders, you're going to use the same priority definitions that you identified in your action manager. For example, today means today. And by today, meaning today, I mean today. Like, there are penalties and consequence if it is not done before you go to bed. If not, then it's a high, okay? And you got to be honest with yourself. And so that's within 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Medium this week, low on the radar for the next few weeks. This is my example. Whatever your definition is, be consistent. Also, if you flag, again, be consistent. What is orange? What is blue? What is green? And as I mentioned before, I'm not totally thrilled on the flagging, just because it's like, I've tried it on my phone, and I only have one color flag on my phone. So I could use six colors on my desktop version, but if I'm trying to work off of my phone, that's not helpful. What might work as a system in this case would be to create in your email program, if you're going to keep them in the email program, and like I said, I'd rather you take it to your to-do manager, but if you need to do it in your email program, create an action folder, and remember the IMAP. You want to have it on the server, not on your hard drive, if you want it to sync. Then you would flag the todays, and don't flag the highs. And then you could pull the todays and the highs into action. Then within that folder, you could sort by flag
and your todays will be on top. Same rule, the today flags need to be cleared out daily. So here is an example. These aren't really action items because I don't use this system. But I was pulling it over, so I have action flagged and two not flagged. This is the high. And the reason that I have them in one folder instead of two is just because two folders is two places to look. I'd rather have one place to look and toggle between today and high by just clearing the flag or not. And that still gets it out of the inbox. But I can't create a titled single next action subject line because I'm in my inbox program, okay? I'm in my email program. Phew, all right. So if this is something you're going to do, then I would like you to come back to your time container and put that on here. You know, make sure it's represented as, you know, your todays, the folder, the frequency, and, you know, think through, like, really, when do I see those possibly happening? Because this you can take to your wrap session and you can say, are these happening? This is how your emails don't disappear. You're setting yourself a roadmap. We got that one, we got that one. Oh, and then we're all calm and everything. Okay, so this is what happens rules on your todays, how it supports you at the end of the day. Say you've been out and about for most of the day and you're willing to work for 1 hour after dinner. That hour is precious, absolutely precious, and must be dedicated to your todays and your highs and finished up with a 10-minute daily preview of tomorrow. You sit down at your desk, and whether you have a specifically designated today flag in your email or a today tag in your to-do manager, you go straight to your today items and clear them out. So this is what didn't happen. You did not scroll through your inbox looking for that one email that you saw this morning. Oh, geez, that one was so important. Where is it? And as you're scrolling, say, oh, look, Sean in Facebook posted that she got her visa for Thailand. That's so cool. I'm going to comment on that really quick. Wow, that is absolutely fascinating, of course. You do not want to sacrifice your 1 hour to do this. Minimize the distractions by quarantining, containerizing your todays so you can go straight there. Okay, I get really excited about this stuff, so deep breath. All right, and now we get back to zapping. Woo-hoo! Okay, so if you're not as excited and hyper as I am right now, will you please stand up if you're feeling sluggish at all and shake it off, okay? This is where I want you to, like, do a little jig. Get into your CEO avatar. It's like when you're driving and it's late at night and you roll down the window and you get a rush of fresh, cold air. Like, that's what you're doing. You're waking up so that you can make quick, excellent decisions, okay? So click in. Visualize that CEO. They're just boom, 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 pointing, yes, no, snapping the fingers, ching, 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 ching. Now, if you were really zapping, you would set your timer and go. What is it? What needs to happen with it? Either recycle, file, if it's 2 minutes or less, do it, or do it later, and that means pull it into your to-do manager. All right? So we're going to be really brave, and I'm going to ask you, I'm going to let you jump into your email, and you're going to zap using that energy, okay? And then if you want to talk through one, then let me know, and we can do it on the line. You can unmute yourself. So we're just going to take a couple of minutes to try this, okay? So that high energy CEO mindset, going to jump right into it, like wiggle, shake, you know, shake off. I've been sitting here for almost an hour, you know, just like shake it off, hop in there, and you can either
in your head or out loud, depending on how brave you are. Yell, I am CEO of my world. I know it's important. I know it's high priority. Be silly about it. And then sit down one email at a time. What is it? What needs to happen with it? If it's reference material, what parking spot does it go to? If it's an action item, what is the action? Create it. Just like you change the subject line for forwarding an email to your system, change the name of an attachment if you're saving it to fit in with your filing organization. And if you come up with one that doesn't totally make sense for you, let me know and let's talk about it. Let's unmute and do it. And even if you just want to do it out loud, fine. We're going to do 2 more minutes. I want you to like snap your fingers, it's snappy. Boom, boom, boom. One more minute. When I originally wrote this up, I did a test. It took me 3 minutes and 45 seconds to zap 10 emails. One more minute. Anybody want to volunteer to do one out loud? Okay, now I realize that I am completely at risk of losing you, but we only have 15 minutes. So here is where you get to apply a massive, massive dose of willpower and close your email program. Go ahead, close your email program. Risky, I know. Living on the edge over here, close your email program. Willpower activated. I know you can do it. Okay, integrating with your workflow. Scheduling. Yeah, I know. Seriously, I know you can. Integrating. Okay. Remember from our energy management module, the biggest factor to successfully being able to call on your willpower is having energy. When you're tired, it's much, much harder to act on. So remember this when factoring email zapping into your schedule. You need a fresh mind to make quick decisions. You need energy to have the willpower to stay on task and take that email all the way through, be it to change the name of the attachment, to create a good single next action title, to consider how to respond wisely to an email that triggers a flash of irritation, okay? You need energy for this. You need energy for the willpower to not browse your inbox. It takes energy. So short sprints are best. And stop before you're worn out. Okay, then time containers. The time containers that are activated that you want to allow for that basically cover the emails. This is kind of like the short list. You want time containers in your schedule for zapping. Your focus. High impact actions. Okay, we've talked about that one before. You may have a different name for it. Your focus work. 3, your busy work. You can have time to keep that stuff moving so that it doesn't become high priority because it's about to be late. Reading, even if it's once a week, maybe it's once every 2 weeks, you know, but that's the time container that's activated by your inbox and social media. So then the third thing here, routines, are really, really awesome. So if your schedule is the same every day, you can plop those time containers in at specific times. But really, these days, whose schedule is the same every day? Nobody. So we think relatively. And basically, you link a series of activities that follow each other well. And you probably already have some of these going, so I just want you to expand your awareness around it so that you can do it more. For example, my day always begins with this routine. Yoga, meditation, journal, shower. That's 60 to 90 minutes. Then, focus create time, number one, breakfast, focus create time number two, and then zap email. Like, it always goes in that order. Zap email never comes before my focus and create time. I'm a morning person. That's why I do it that way. My intention is to begin the first focus and create session at 8 a.m., and it usually does when I get up at 6:30 a.m. However, if I go to bed after 11:30 p.m., I don't push myself to get up at 6:30. I see that I don't function as well when I'm not rested. And since doing my creative focus work is the most important stuff that I'm doing, period, end of story, the rest of my life is set up to support that. So if I do go to bed late, and I do sometimes, depending on whether I've been on my meditation schedule regularly, if so, I can do a short session. And what project is currently on my plate and how timely it is, that'll determine whether I still get my butt in the seat at 8 a.m. or do I do full yoga and meditation and get to the computer around 8:30 or 9. So I still do each of them, but I can change how much time for each of them based on the reality of that day. So based on your flow and your brain juice and energy time, so you might want to pull this back to our third session on energy management to come up with your own routine. I would love for you to come up with your own routine that honors who you want to be and allows for adequate zapping time. So here's another example. Breakfast, then focus time, and maybe it's only one today task of 15 minutes, but it's an important task that has to get done. Then zap email, then industry update, then client work, then zap email, then lunch. Right, so if you always had that same pattern going, then you touch on the different areas. You touch on all the different time containers that move your work along. Simpler one, zap email right before lunch, read during lunch, social media after lunch, then project time, right? So there's a grouping of activities that makes sense for you. Now, I have a big old wonderful list of reminders, the stuff that you probably know but need a reminder of. And I don't have time to go over it, so I'm going to turn it into a post and I'll put it online for you. Because I really want to get to the overview, the whole enchilada. Now, this is going to be a bit of a whirlwind. All right, you ready? Put your seatbelts on. The example here, and so this is in part to show you all of the, so blah, blah, blah. Here's what's up. When you have a goal, this is how a project or a goal, this is how all of the parts come together to support that. The goal in question here is going to Thailand, okay? This is the core of the Walk Tall course. The tools to keep clean, the project list, the to-do manager. Tier two, we've got contacts, calendars, your Evernote or list storage, email client, password manager, office organization, backup, and file organization. Then we talked about processes, the wrap session, and the daily preview. Essential, essential, essential. Throughout everything that I am about to say, the guiding intentions are, I will not use my head as a storage space, front load as much as possible, and let my systems do the work. And then these are the core skills that I use over and over and over again. Zapping, making sure my to-dos are clean, single next actions that start with a verb, always having mindset awareness, and always activating my avatar, okay? So number one, brainstorm. I want to go to Thailand. It starts with a piece of paper and a pen and a mind map. Thailand, here are the main categories that I could think of that needed to happen, right? And then I just brainstormed whatever was in my head. I just threw it all out. Could I have done this straight into my to-do manager? Yes, of course. And for this part of the creative process, I personally prefer a pen. Here are some of the core, you know, so you can see what particularly was activated. And I'm not going to go over each of them, but you can see, you'll see this. So number two, let me look for something real quick. Sorry, y'all. Okay. So, this is where I add to the project list, right? So I've got my main project category and then those four main sections, 1, 2, 3, 4. I add it to the calendar. Right? So I come up with my goal of here's when I'm going. So I know what I'm working backwards from. On an ongoing basis, I'm keeping my inbox, my to-do manager inbox empty so that whenever I go to do a manage of my work, a wrap session, I know I've got everything accounted for. Manager and also in the Gmail. Now you'll notice that I have my main inbox is empty, but these are not, right? These are social media updates and newsletters and stuff like that. Like I don't really care about those. I'm not concerned about those. I'll probably just go and delete those at some point, you know, after I do my social media stuff, whatever. Like I'm not concerned about those. I'm only concerned about the important stuff in my inbox. Then I take a first pass at the highs in this project of go to Thailand. First pass at highs. Looking at these, I say, okay, which of these is incredibly, are any of these time specific? One, apply for Thai visa because I have to go to LA, and since I'm staying in Ojai, then this is the only day I could go. So, if it's time specific, it goes to the calendar. Then in the next wrap session, I go through, I make sure that all of the to-dos are single next actions and they start with a verb. I start adding context tags. And I add priority, the highs and the mediums and the lows. Once I do that, I check my tag for high. And these are all of the things that came up. So then I get to see what all of my highs are in one place so I can scan for it and see if anything actually doesn't belong. Right? Because when you start looking through these, you're like, okay, I see the importance of each of these, and then you get to one, you're like, whoa, that does not belong. That's a medium. That's totally not a high. Then I do the same thing with medium. Go through, are these all actually intended for this week, given the context of everything else on the list? If not, I switch it down to low. Then, and in the daily preview, I'm drawing from my mediums and my highs, and I'm tagging a number of them as today. And this creates my list of things to do for tomorrow. And to make sure that I'm not overdoing it, I have a couple of smart cues that I work off of. So one is a today plus focus time, and then the other is today plus busy time. So these are all the things I tagged for today in the focus time, and you'll see that I have my time estimates in here. And so I add them up, 1, 2, 3, 15, and just add those up. And then I look at my schedule and I say focus time and busy time. And so when I did this, I'm jumping time a little bit, but I was doing that for a 2-day period, Sunday and Monday. So I have my focus times and my busy times. And I cannot, like, they have to be able to accommodate the amount of time that I need for that list, or I need to take something off of the list. You'll see that I also, in this one, I left time after the focus for email zapping before this meeting, because like I said, I like to zap after I do the focus time, so I left time for zapping here. I left time for lunch here. I reminded myself that I need a buffer before and after this call, this client call. So I literally put it in my schedule for a little bit of buffer so that I don't squish up too close to it. I left time for a bike ride with Mark here, just because I get really going on work stuff and then I forget. And so I actually scheduled it. And you'll notice that I didn't start before 8:30 here. So normally it's like 8 or 8:30, because this time before 8 a.m. is my morning routine. Then some of the other parking lists, contacts. So I've started making connections with people in Thailand. I made sure that in their record, like I did put them in my address book, and somewhere in the record I wrote the word Thailand, so that when I do a search by Thailand, these are my direct contacts for Thailand. Even though they're not in Thailand necessarily, they still show up. These are, you know, friends of friends kind of thing. So I can search by Thailand and they're all in there. All along, I'm making sure I'm keeping my passwords clear and up to date. Okay, so this is my one password, because looking for passwords, like, I just cannot take the time to be hunting around passwords. I'm gonna, my file structure stays clean. So here's for the course, like here was module 1, here's module 2, here's module 3. Whenever I create a new document, it gets an 01, 02, 03, 04, 05, and they all stay together. And that is how I keep my sanity. And then I also started travel resources. So this is an Evernote. I started collect, as I was browsing the internet looking for resources, I started a travel resources folder and I started clipping notes to it. And so now I can come to travel resources and find the information that I found useful or interesting. So I know that was fast. You can go back and watch again and see which ones here if you didn't catch those. And of course, this is all for your success, your well-being, and your ability to be present in the moment. So, right, you can either be woohoo, or you can be nice and calm. You have your choice. So, get down and groovy. I know we've covered so much information, you guys. And I am completely dedicated to helping you make the sense of it that you need. So here are our options. We've got a 3-week implementation. It's going to be more like a small group coaching. You'll have the opportunity to talk and basically state your goals. And it's going to be a little bit like a rundown of the planning process. So the planning project, the project being getting you organized getting you firm in your avatar. This will be, like I said, part. I'm not speaking very well. I got a little too excited through this whole thing, so I'm like shifting gears a little too fast. It's sort of like a planning process, group coaching support to get all of this information from the Walk Tall class dialed in for you in a map kind of format. Prioritize what you need to do first, what you need to do next. And we'll put it in the context of either 3 or 6 months, whatever makes the most sense for you. And you'll have a plan of how to get to your goal at the end. If you just have been, you know, like basically gathering all this information over the past 5 weeks and are just kind of needing help making sense of everything and you're feeling overwhelmed, this will be the best. This will be a great option for you. And that is $69 for the full 3 weeks. You know, super, super budget variety. Then there's the one-on-one where you've been making some of the changes and you just need a little bit of focus to fully customize the information for you and, you know, maybe also to, you know, come up with the prioritized plan as would be helpful for you. We can do one-on-one. And that is at a discounted rate of $197 for 3 sessions. And then there's also an email support series, and there's no charge for this. And it's basically a series of 15 emails based on the premise that the email stuff, you just need the reminders. You just need to keep coming back to it. And so it's to help strengthen your willpower and your reminders so you're just not like, cut off and floating free in the sea. I want to keep pulling you back to your good habits and your good practices. And so the emails come out every 2 to 3 days, and it's an automatic series. They're short, and yes, I do see the irony of an email-based series to diminish your email inbox. But, you know, we want to get you on track. And then after the 15, you won't get any more. Last open office implementation call on Friday, and I, you know, like I said, hope you can make it. Never know what's going to come up, and even if you don't know, if you have a question, just bring the stuff to work on, and if there's anything you even just kind of wonder about, you can just bring it up. And of course, remembering to let it be easy. I am so incredibly grateful to have had this opportunity to do this class with you. I'm so passionate about helping you navigate your life differently. And I thank you for the opportunity to help you do that. And however I can support you in the future, please do not hesitate to ask. I guess the one other thing that I want to mention for upcoming in 2014 is understanding that this is a huge amount of information. You guys kind of got the crash course. Like, you could listen to this whole course like 2 or 3 times and probably get new information from it each time. I'm figuring out how to structure a longer program, like say 5 months, 6 months even, where the information would be coming out in smaller chunks and it would be more geared around the implementation slowly over time. It would be less intensive, less boot camp-ish. So you'll be hearing about that. And if you do decide to do that, you know, you'll have a bit of a leg up and that you'll have heard this information once already. However I can help you, please let me know. And any final questions? How many sessions are in the one-on-one package and how much is each section? Oh, couldn't hear it. That's probably because I didn't mention it. 3 sessions in the one-on-one package. They're an hour long each. And I will send you a link to sign up page, and that has a real brief description of the 3 different supports. Items. And Cleo, are these handouts online? Cleo, do you mean the handouts or the slides from the presentation? Oh, thank you, Lisa. You are so welcome. so glad you jumped in and embraced me. So the slides, yes, the slides, as well as the, so on the resources page, there will be a date, and under the date, there will be the video, the video plus audio, and then there will also be just the audio, and there will be just the slides. So yes, you can get a PDF version of just these slides, and that'll be on the Walk Tall resources page, and that'll be in the link, same link as always, and it will be going out later on today once the recordings have finished processing and I get them uploaded. Any final questions before we sign off on this final one? I'm not seeing anything, so much love to you all, and yes, let it be easy, big hugs, and until the next time, hopefully on Friday, I'll see you soon. Bye for now.